It's like, oh. Oh, that dates me. Oh, hallelujah. CDs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we are going to have communion. And we're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to have our Canyon Lake communion. And I want to share a few things tonight and just about how wonderful Jesus is. A little bit different angle tonight. But I want to talk about the reason why he came. And I want to talk about Jesus' purpose. We've been around, lived in this country, celebrate, Christmas. We know that it's about Jesus, and we're celebrating his birth. And we know there's probably not, he wasn't born on December 25th. That's where we celebrate, and there's a lot of reasons why. But if we look at John chapter 14, verse 6, and I want to talk a little bit about Jesus and his purpose for coming and the reason why this little baby showed up in a manger in Bethlehem and how the reason why Jesus came. And I believe that everything we do, because if we don't have a relationship with Christ, if we don't have an understanding of why everything becomes a religion, and we don't have a relationship with him, we need to understand the why and the reason why Jesus came. And it says, Jesus said, I am the way. Everybody say the way.
The way.
The truth. The truth. And the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus defines, this is one of the places he defines who he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way is what? The destination is the Father. See, the purpose Christ came was the destination was to be connect with the Father again. Jesus was the way. The truth, what does it do? The truth guides us along the way, doesn't it? And the life gives us strength and power. Mm-hmm. That's why the life is in the blood, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus shed his blood, was because that's the life that was shed for us. Verse 7 says, if you've known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And then in verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, have I been so long, a long time with you, that you don't know me, Philip? Here we go. He that has seen me, what has seen the Father, and says unto them, and you say, show us the Father? What is Jesus saying? He's like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This gift that was given to us, this Son, God's Son, was an absolute roadmap to him, and it was also the example that we need to follow moving forward. And I believe that, again, we view the Father through Jesus. I believe this is where other religions miss it. They misrepresent God. They distort God. Everything is because they're not viewing God through the eyes of Jesus. Some religions view him as a schizophrenic. We just don't know what's going to happen. He's going to kill us. He wants us to commit suicide. We want to, he wants us to blow ourselves up. He wants to do this. We don't know what mood God's in today. Guess what? We know what kind of mood God's in because Jesus is our example. And this little baby that was born 2,000 years ago was the example of who God really is. That's the purpose of Jesus. And again, Jesus is an example that the Father wants us to mimic. Again, this is why a lot of cults, they focus on the Old Testament. You'll see the Old Testament, that's where Islam breaks off, Judaism breaks off, everybody break Christianity. That's where a lot of some of the fundamental teachings, but when we get to Jesus, that's where everything goes haywire. Because the devil doesn't want you to see who God really is. He wants us to view God as a religious entity that's too far away. We're never going to be able to connect with it. And Jesus said, no, I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. I am that pathway to get you back to the Father and to see who God the Father really is through my example and who I am. Matthew 1:21 through 23. So again, tonight, we're not just celebrating Jesus as a person, as a baby, not just as a baby, but we want to look at his purpose tonight. Why do we come to communion? Why is Jesus so valuable? Why is this little baby born in a manger so powerful. And we see here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and it says, "And he shall bring forth a son, and you will call his name," what? "Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What does that mean, save his people from their sins? Well, sin, the payment for sin is death. It's eternal hell. And it's eventually a lake of fire forever and ever. And this little baby has redeemed us from this eternal punishment. Verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child," here we go, "and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted God with us. Again, it all comes back to Jesus is God with us. Jesus was the physical manifestation of God in the flesh, walked among us, was the example, was the pathway of getting back to the Father. That's Jesus' purpose, was to connect us back with the Father. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And again, it's all coming back to connect us with the Father. Every time Jesus walked, he spoke about the Father. He's connecting us back with Papa God, back to the Father, back to the Father. And in fact, the religious folks didn't like it when he said, called God Father. They thought it was blaspheme. But that's the purpose, right? And in fact, the Old Testament says that Adam was the what? The Son of God, right? It even says that Adam was the Son of God. So even physically, it outlines it, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High, but Jesus reconnects us back to that. We look at Luke chapter 22, and it says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him," and this is at the Jordan now, when John the Baptist baptized me, and it says, "A voice came from heaven and said, Thou art what? My beloved Son. In him I'm well pleased, because he's an exact replication of me." Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. I want to give us plenty of time to receive communion tonight. We're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to celebrate his sacrifice. We're going to celebrate his life. We're going to celebrate this baby that came. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 5, and we're going to see that God always puts his mark of approval on Jesus. There's something about Jesus. There's something about Jesus. There's something about Jesus. And it comes back here and it says, verse 1, "And after," and this is the Mount of Transfiguration, "and after 6 days, Jesus talked. He took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and he brought them up to a high mountain and was transfigured before men, and his face, it shone like the sun, and his raiment or his clothes were as white as the light. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them." I want to stop here for a moment because something very important here. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. But Jesus represents the new covenant. And what's that new covenant? It's relationship with Papa God again. It's getting back to that Garden of Eden relationship that Adam and Eve had with God the Father, and they walked during the cool of the day. They walked with him. And then what does God say here? What does it say here? It says, "And behold," again, verse 4, and then Peter, kind of putting his foot in his mouth as usual, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. We're going to make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Right? He's just kind of... And then God's kind of like, okay, we'll just ignore that. We're going to move on here. And then what's he say? He says, "While yet he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud, and it says, This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Right? What is God saying? He's like, my stamp of approval is on Jesus. That's why it's so important for us is again, Jesus always connects us back with the Father. And Jesus, again, all comes back. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Why is it important to connect with the Father? As we kind of sum up some things here, Romans 5:5 says, and hope makes not ashamed, because what the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The important thing is, the only way we're going to experience love in this world, we're going to read a few of the scriptures here, is through Jesus and through God. Love. Right? How many other religions are focused on love? No. It's all about what you can do for that false god and everything else. It's all about works. It's all about works. It's all about works. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and this is a New Living Translation. So again, actually, while you're turning there, I want to read that Romans 5:5 out of the Amplified. And it says, such hope in God's promises, this is Amplified, never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given. Where does that love come from? It comes from the Father through Jesus. And again, Jesus connects mankind with the love of God, which was not present since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Love does not exist outside the Father. It does not exist. It's non-existent. And then in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, we're going to read here, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Verse 2, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. We don't have to anymore, right? Following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Here we go, verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loves us so much, I love this, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only because of God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. See, Jesus is that glue. Jesus is that connecting point. Jesus is the one that connects us and draws us in to the Father God. In verse 8, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. And this is what Martin Luther had the revelation on, that it is not by works, but it is by grace that we're saved. It's because of His love, and it's because of His grace that we're saved. And salvation, verse 9, is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast. Here we go. For we are God's masterpiece. Why are we God's masterpiece? Again, because of Jesus, right? This little baby that came, and He created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So if we break this down, what are we seeing here? Why do we have to celebrate this baby over 2,000 years ago? Because Jesus broke the power of the enemy. He connected us with God's mercy and His love. We have been raised together with Christ. So now, not only because of God raising, just like Pastor Adrian was talking about, Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? That God raised Him from the dead. And because God raised Him from the dead, we're risen with Him. And God's grace has saved us, not of our works. Hallelujah. You and I cannot work our way to heaven like other religions. Some of you know, it's just like, you know, some people, they're like, well, they've done this thing, and then all of a sudden they mess up the next day. And what happens if you mess up on the way to repenting or doing something else? Are you in trouble? We don't know where we stand with God. I mean, you know, it's His grace. It's his love and his mercy and Jesus' blood, the price that he paid on the cross redeemed all of that for us. And also, love does not exist, again, outside of God. And what roots us and what grounds us? It grounds because of love. Faith worketh by what? Love. Our faith works in him because we know he loves us. And we can have that confidence to run towards him because of Jesus' sacrifice, right? When you know people care about you, man, just awesome, right? People in our house, we're, you know, all of us in our house, we know it's like, okay, whatever, safe place, right? First Corinthians chapter 11, before we receive communion here. And so this baby was the connecting power, was the connector between us and back to the Father. And God the Father put his stamp of approval on Jesus every time that it came up, right? In the Jordan, when he came out of the water, Jesus said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." When there's a manifestation of Elijah and Moses and Jesus, and the Father said, "Hear ye him, this is the one I want you to listen to." And Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," right? Jesus is saying, "I am a carbon copy of the Father." That's why I love to say, if you want to find out who God is, read the Gospels. Read the four Gospels and study Jesus, because he is the picture of God, right? He is healing people on the Sabbath day, even when religious people want to kill him, right? Yeah. People are more important than processes. He doesn't care. I'm going to heal people on the Sabbath, right? We're going to feed people. We're going to do the right thing because God loves people. And people are more important than a system. They're more important to God than just, again, rituals. He heals multitudes of people, right? He doesn't care about status. He doesn't care about these things. What? Because God doesn't care about those things. That's why we see Jesus was born in a manger. He had no social status. He had no formal education. He didn't care about those things. It was just like, I am going to just be in love with my Father, flow in these things, obey God, and see what happens. And guess what happened? He turned the world upside down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 31. And this is Apostle Paul's recount of the Last Supper. And this is when they are talking, and Jesus is just talking about the bread representing his body and the wine which represents his blood. And most people want to remember, and we do remember Christ's life. His teachings were incredible. They were amazing. They're just fantastic. But Jesus' focus is on, wait a minute, my death. Isn't that interesting how Jesus is the only person, leader in really any kind of human history, that his whole focus is on his death? Because he knew there was power, and there was power in the resurrection. And he said, do this in remembrance of me, that you recognize my death and my sacrifice. And we see here, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, meaning the bread, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, here we go, which is broken for you. See, again, this all comes back to the heart of God, where his body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. Everything he did was not for himself, but his whole life was an absolute, from his birth to his death, was a sacrifice for everybody else. And then he says, and do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, and after the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, and you do it as often as you drink it, in what? Remembrance of me. We remember his sacrifice. We remember the things that he did. Verse 26, for as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, there were people that were coming in during this time, and they were eating, and they were getting drunk on the wine, and they were eating it, and they did that before anybody else came, and they weren't honoring what it was. And we saw that the Corinthians, well, we also see that they were, the Corinthians always talks about what we call the gifts of the Spirit. These people operated in things, but they were very carnal, right? They were just not a great example. Their personal lives were kind of a mess, but they loved God. And then it says, verse 28, but let every man examine himself so that he may eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then for he that eats and drinks unworthily and eats and drinks damnation to himself and not discerning the Lord's body. And he says in verse 31, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or died. But we want to judge ourselves that we should not be judged. And that's a simple thing. We just come before him. Communion is not anything that we need to be scared of. It's a blessing. It's something that we can partake of. And when we do partake of, many people receive healing during communion. Many people, you know, it's a way to connect with the Lord. Because why? Because we remember his sacrifice. We remember what he did. It's not just a little baby in a manger with humble beginnings, but this is a mighty king that is Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of everything. And he is Lord over sickness, disease, sin, oppression, addiction, brokenness, depression. I mean, everything. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And tonight, as we begin to receive this, we can do this as families and friends. If you make sure you can definitely connect with other people if you'd like. And this is open. So again, we always like to have free, open communion on this, and we're going to pray together before we do that. You don't have to take communion, but you're more than welcome to. Everybody is welcome to, and we'll start with families. But let's just pray together before we receive the communion. We'll go as families, and we'll kind of just flow around. But Father, we come before you tonight. We praise you and thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for sacrificing yourself. And Father, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to give his life of teachings and persecution and everything that he's done. And he was sacrificed on the cross for our sin, Lord Jesus. Tonight, we thank you that you did not need to go to the cross for yourself. You did not need to have your sins remitted, but you did it for us because of your love, Lord. Because of your compassion for us, because of your just concern and your yearning and eagerness to reconnect with us. And I just want us all to pray a prayer together. If you just repeat after me, Father, I thank you for Jesus. And I believe that he is the Son of God. And that you rose him from the dead. And I thank you. And Jesus, I declare you as my Lord and Savior. Make me new, just like 2 Corinthians 5:17. And tonight, I am a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new in the name of Jesus. And I receive the elements tonight with a clear conscience. And I thank you for your sacrifice in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we'll go ahead and as families will come up and receive communion, and then we'll go ahead and just go around the room there. If you want to go ahead and jump in with some folks, you're more than welcome to. And, again, everyone's invited to take part in communion, and so yes, we'll do that.